and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And we're on location,
man,
this week.
We're rolling with these on locations, man. Our last on location was with Randy Mosher, right? And Forbidden Root.
I know that guy!
Yeah, I know Randy.
Today, man, we're on the Northwest side with gold medalist, Gary Gully, Alarmist Brewing.
Aaron Dow, who brewed the beer.
Oh, see, that's nice.
He didn't want to steal the medal. Yeah, he's giving you credit.
Yeah,
Aaron, and Gary, thanks for joining us. It's great. Nick saw Gary at Beer Hoptacular.
Yes.
And was like, you have to come here and record now.
I'm like, dude, what are you doing here, man? He's got taco in a bag, you know. And I'm like, what are you doing here, man? What are you doing? Why are you not in Denver?
So, funny story with that. My wife and I had our 17th wedding anniversary on that last Friday.
Oh, right on.
And we went to a restaurant in our home neighborhood, Lincoln Square, called The Warbler, which is awesome. And I was drinking mezcal cocktails.
Nice.
Because as much as, I like my craft beer, I like my mezcal tequila cocktails, and managed to wake up on Saturday with a bit of a hangover.
Okay.
And the taco in the bag folks helped me, which they're also in Lincoln Square, which is a great coincidence because they were at the festival. But, oh, my God. So shout out to Taco in a Bag in Lincoln Square on Lincoln Avenue. Seriously,
official sponsor.
Yeah. No, this guy
saved you.
That food it is absolutely. I'm not kidding. It's the second time I've had it. Absolutely terrific, and it saved me from a really bad hangover. And then we found out about the GABF thing, and we're like, what?
So you weren't at GABF because of the anniversary? Because if they wouldn't have moved it, you might have been there. Or
we just it
costs
a lot of money.
The correct answer for that is yes. To say yes.
Yes, because I love my wife.
My wedding anniversary.
Because I love my wife dearly. We've just never gone to GABF because we don't have a lot of money. We're small, and it takes a big commitment financially and time wise, and we don't distribute beer out there, so. We just sent beer in for the competition, like a lot of breweries do.
Yeah.
So I've never actually been to it, even as a spectator. That's going to change.
Neither.
But,
yeah, I haven't been either.
We'll be there next year.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
So
Aaron, have you gone before?
I've never been either.
Okay. Nick's the only one.
Man, I've been a few times. Yeah. I've been like maybe a couple, two, three times.
Okay.
It's a bit of a shit show, but Denver's such a fun town that it all balances out.
Well, that's the thing. I love Colorado.
Yeah.
So that's sort of my dream state, you know, when I'm old someday to go live in. But
yeah, next year the Brewers Conference is in Denver too, right?
Is it?
Yeah, so it's like going to be a doubleheader
of... They do that shit. I don't understand that.
So I think we might be going to Denver twice
next my God.
Year, hopefully.
Yeah, we'll be there, so...
Yeah.
So I guess, the award. Let's talk about that, and then we can kind of backtrack.
Yeah, that's true, right?
Yeah, I mean, right? We dove into it, like, head first. We don't even know why.
So I was picking up Aaron for... This beer festival on Saturday, Beer Hoptacular, and he lives really close to Revolution's production facility.
Yep.
So I was driving down, picking him up, and we're going to head over to this heliport, which I didn't even know Chicago had a heliport.
Right.
I texted him. I said, hey, Aaron, I'm here. I'm on the corner. Come out. And he texted me back and said, what did you say?
And literally, I was live streaming it. I'm like, they are... literally about to announce the winners for this category because they saved it for the end of the award ceremony because it was the first time in the festival.
Most hyped.
It was the most hyped. It had the most entries, and they literally skipped over it during the festival. Like, we're gonna save that for last. So I'm like, I didn't think we were gonna win. I'm like, I'm watching it. I'll be downstairs in like a minute. They're just about to announce the winner.
Yeah.
So.
And I didn't know they were live streaming it. I was following the Twitter feed for. Guys drinking beer.
Yeah, they were there.
Were they live tweeting or something?
Yeah. So I was like, oh, okay. And then he texted me this, said, yeah, I'm listening. And I'm like, okay. And I didn't really think much about it. And then Paul Schroeder from Brewer Supply Group, who's a good friend of ours, and he was there. He sends me a text and he says, do you want me to pick up your medal? And I thought he was fucking with me. I'm like, what's he talking about? And then Aaron texts me and says, we just won. And I'm like, what? And all of a sudden it was like, Like, we were just, like, it did, like, time just stopped.
Oh, because that was the only beer you submitted.
That's the only beer you submitted. Okay. And, one beer. And we're really bad about submitting beers to competitions. I mean, we've only submitted maybe four ever. I'm trying to think.
Yeah, we submitted maybe to World five. Beer Cup earlier
World Beer
this
Cup,
year,
we sent.
And I think we submitted to GABF last year.
What
as
did
well,
we? What did we send to GABF? I don't even.
Not hazy beer.
Yeah. So
or light Belgian beer and a. Blonde
yeah,
beer.
That's okay. Right. So we it just, and it, I was like, and I was sitting there like on Friday and early Saturday. I'm thinking, you know what? We need to really focus on these beer competitions to really, because we need this to really boost our standing. Because I mean,
was that an impression of yourself?
That's an impression of myself, by the way. Yeah, that's an impression of myself.
We really need to focus on
that's
this.
A
we need to focus on this. Makes me sound even older than I am. But I think we were, I mean, I personally was frustrated, but then again, we hadn't like done a lot of submitted, but I mean, I just, you know, we think we make really good beers, but of course every brewery thinks they make good beers.
Sure.
So that's not necessarily the best limit test in the world. But we had people right. in our tap room telling us, oh, we love you these beers. But then again, I don't know. I mean, you go to beer festivals and be like, oh, this is the best beer we've had all day. Well, I'm sure they tell every other brewery this shit too. So, but we just really felt that at least
right.
as...
Don't ask me for a ticket.
Also, I'm out of tickets, but...
But we just felt, I mean, we've always felt that, not like in a bragging way, we just felt like our beers were really well made. Not all of them. We've definitely made some mistakes, but we just felt that in general, they were, you know, balanced and easy to drink and I don't know. And we really thought Lejeu was a really tasty beer, of course, but mm-hmm. we had had other ones. We've had some of the, I won't name them, but some of the big guys in the business. And I personally felt they were a little heavy-handed with some of the hops and stuff. I felt like it was like vegetal, and I think Aaron, you've had some of those. And what did you think about those, some of the big guys?
I've had several, and they're just, I mean, some people are into that because it's like, I've had them when they're a month old, and people are like, oh, that's too old. I'm like, well, I think a beer should be able to last a month.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I mean, because most stores will say like 120 days or
right.
whatever at least.
But
right?
some people aren't into that. Like, oh, I only drink it if it's a week old. And then it turns into it starts getting oxidized and it smells like cardboard because there's.
We've run into a lot of that.
So many hops in the
including
beer.
Including our beers.
It's just not. So.
And
it's
beer
not
drinkers
stable.
Are lazy. Like, they, oh, I forgot about this beer that I had in there because I either bought something new or. I just really drank too much last week. I was like taking a break, and now it's 2 weeks old. Right. Oh crap!
Yeah,
it's already done.
But our
in
I
some
mean,
of these instances, but
I would say Lejeu.
And it's Lejeu. I've been saying Lejeu this whole time. Lejeu.
Yeah, you
Lejeu.
Can say you know what you can
well,
say whatever.
I mean, it's,
most
it's
of people here say
French.
Lejeu, which is
French
plural.
For the juice.
I took French for 4 years, so Lej would be multiple. So it's just one juice.
Did you really you took French for 4 years?
I took 4.5. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's really helped me out in life. But I think, and I was worried. I was talking to Aaron actually about this last week. I'm like, well, you know, I mean, I have judged homebrew competitions, and what usually happens is the beer. Not I shouldn't say this always, but especially like in the hoppy beer categories, if your beer is not really assertive, people don't really pay attention to it. And I think part of it's just like your palate gets fatigued as you go along through the. Uh-huh. Through the judging, you may be doing 10, 12 beers, and that's a lot of beers, and right. your palate just gets fatigued. And I was like, well, Lejeu, I mean, we think it's a phenomenal beer, obviously, because we make it, but we didn't think it would compete with some of these more highly hopped, stronger tasting beers, but we thought it should. And I'll be goddamn, it did. And I can tell you what, there's no more anybody surprised than we are. I mean, we've worked our ass off on this, and Aaron has like we always talk about iteration, like, you know, iterate, try this from a software background for me, like try new things, mm-hmm. and see what works. And Aaron's been doing that, and it's oh my god.
Something I've noticed with your guys' hazy beers, they often come off either spicier or like maybe it's the hoppy greenness of them.
It's true.
They're less, I want to say juicy, orange juice, and they have like a little bit of like a bite or a tingle, and I think that it helps them a lot in this like
well, that's because we put sriracha.
Yeah. category.
So
you're not supposed to give out.
So industry secret, so everybody. We put sriracha in it.
Sponsored by sriracha.
If that's something you
oh, that's interesting.
Paid attention to, yeah. Or if it's the combination of the hop blend that you
Aaron, I, you're the brewer.
But I do get like a more bitter bite to it, I guess.
In general, well, not in general. I'm just not a sweet person.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a very sweet, obviously.
No, he's a very bitter.
I don't like overly sweet beers. I don't eat any sweets. That's just not how my palate leans. So when I design a beer, I'm very cautious about that. So, and I've had a lot of, you know, the hazy beers that are just like crazy sweet, mm-hmm. and it just tastes like a, you know, like a sweet pine cone almost. And I kind of wanted it to have a little bit of bite, but not be bitter, but have a little, still be on the drier side and have all the characteristics you're looking for in that style of beer, but without being, you know, crazy, crazy sweet.
And have that IPA kind of.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit, not be crazy bitter, but still have a little, a smoother bite, you know, a little bit, but not, it's not a bitter beer by any means. Yeah. It's still, you know, you're drinking an IPA when you're drinking it.
Yeah, because we like the juice bombs that are, just, you know, juice from front to back. I think when we had it on the show, we had the show, and then we had, like, this episode afterwards where we just drank one beer.
Yeah.
And we had Le Jus.
Because I came up here during Chicago Craft Beer Week when you guys officially released it in cans.
Right.
The first release of it.
So. Yeah, that's
And that's the first thing we said was, like, man, you know, it's got everything that all the other ones have, but it has, like, this beer integrity of this spiciness in there that makes it kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know, so that was, it was a fun ride, that beer.
Yeah. Awesome. I'm glad you guys picked that up because that kind of was the goal with that beer, for sure.
This is a big deal, man. So for the last 5 years at GABF, right, the top two categories were IPA and double IPA.
Yeah.
Right, for 5 years running, and then this is the debut of this category, 391 entries, the biggest category in the history of the fest.
Yeah,
and Alarmist walks away with the gold.
Still doesn't feel real. Sorry.
Gary
texted me last night. He's like, dude, did we really win?
I can't believe we won this.
Like, yes, we did.
I mean, I think our beer's, I love our beer. I think it's great. But Jesus Christ, with 390, whatever.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I was literally calculating the channel. I'm like, well, probably half of them are probably crap. I'm just saying, and I'm thinking, so now we went from a 0.25% chance to a 0.5% chance, and I'm like thinking, well, that's not bad. It's it's better than Mega Millions, you know, so.
Yeah.
And this was across single and double. I didn't even know double was going to be a category.
Oh, double hazy.
Yeah.
They had double, and that's where Corridor.
Oh, yeah, cheers.
Yeah, Corridor got silver for that, right?
Yeah.
And just so we're clear, well, this is probably the point where we should point, you know, the people who helped us, right? Because we didn't do this on our own initially, right?
So yeah, how'd you guys get to this point, Gary?
Yeah, so stepping back. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll start with the thinking process, and then Aaron can maybe continue with the brewing process, the shout-outs. So it's very funny because somewhere on social media, there's a, I don't know if it's a Facebook, Instagram, hell, I don't know, but we were, goes back to,
this is probably 2 years ago, at least.
Yeah, 2016.
If not more.
We were cleaning out the brew kettle back when I actually brewed, and out comes all the hop matter, and I put it in a glass, and I said, and we posted and said, hey, look, we just did a New England IPA. So, of course, we're making fun of this style because, A, we were being judgmental assholes because we actually didn't know anything about the style. So, shame on us. And then we were at Beer Under. The whole thing for us, the reason Le Jus exists is because we went to Beer Under Glass, which is a big Chicago beer festival during Chicago Craft Beer Week. And it's one of the best festivals in Chicago.
One.
Yeah.
This one of my favorites for sure.
And it's at the Garfield?
Garfield Park Conservatory.
Yeah, it's the most beautiful location you'll ever find. And that was 2017, right?
Last year.
Yeah, and and I see Michael.
So that was 2017.
Yeah. Okay,
let me do my calculations. So Michael Palin from Microphone, he's got a line of people, and I'm like, why don't we never have a line of people? And then he's doing I think it's Check 1-2, which was his New England IPA or one of them. And I went up and tried it, and I said, yeah. Sorry, I go. Aaron said he's never going to brew a New England IPA. What I should have said is, we're never. I threw you under the bus.
That's fine.
And Michael Palin.
These are my words.
And Michael Palin says, "You should, because that's what the kids love." And I'm like, okay. And I didn't really think much about it, but then I drank the beer, and I was like, wow, this is pretty good. Mm-hmm. This is really interesting beer, and I didn't know. We literally didn't know what it was. And then BJ Pitchman, who was the head brewer for Forbidden Root, who I've known for a long time back from homebrewing days, I went up to him, and you know how tall he is, so I had to look up at him. And I said, and we start talking about it. I said, hey, what's the deal with this New England IPA? And he's like, dude. And he starts telling me, he's like, you got to look up Google Biotransformation. And then he starts giving me, he's like, and then you got to get this London Ale 3 yeast and all this stuff. And I'm like, what? So he's like, trust me. And I go, I thought it was just like you weren't filtering the beer, which we don't, but no one does. Very few breweries filter beer. But I'm like, it's just like you don't let it cold crash enough and you let all the gunk get into your beer. And he's like, no. And I'm like, really? He's like, no, you foolish child.
Is that what he actually called?
That's how I thought. And then we smoked a cigarette, which I shouldn't do. And then I was like, oh. So I started thinking about it. And I started looking into it. And then the next week, I talked to Aaron.
Yep.
And so I don't, you know, I don't, I'm not like a dictator. I'm not like, hey, Aaron, you need to brew this. Because I, you know, this is Aaron's world back here. But, you know, I got to have some kind of influence. I said, Aaron, and I told him this story, and I said, we should at least look into it. And Aaron, what did you do?
He said,
fuck you, Gary.
No. I said, okay.
And he took your cigarette. Started smoking.
I said, no, I was like, I mean, I was incredibly hesitant as well. But then, for me, I'm like, all right, well, I viewed it as a challenge. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, well, what I need, my process is, I'm like, all right, I need the drink. Every example of this style I can get my hands on and kind of figure out what makes the style tick. So I'm like, cool. And I already had an opinion of it because a few that I had weren't that good. And then I, one of my buddies, Roger, was working at Corridor at the time. He now works at Maplewood, but I had previously spoken to him about it and I had one of his beers and then it like, you know, it clicked. I'm like, this is actually really good. It was almost like almost going back to that original craft beer moment. Yep. For me. Yeah. Like when you have your first craft beer, that is the reason we're all here, where you're like, oh, this is incredible. Like I'm going to chase this and it's inspiring. Like yeah. So I had that one beer from him and I'm like, okay, like I kind of get it. So I started picking a bunch of people's brains. I'm like, hey, how do you, not asking for secrets, I was like, hey, how do you guys approach this style?
And during this time, by the way, he kept bringing beers back here.
Yeah, because I mean, I'm like, hey, try this. Yeah. Like,
and all of a sudden,
what do you like,
I'm
about
like,
it? What don't you like about it?
He had a sparkle in his eye. I'm like, dang.
Oh, it was exciting, you know? It's like a new thing. I didn't know anything about it.
Yeah.
I'm like, how do you even brew this thing? Like, I needed to do my research phase before I would even consider brewing.
Which I love, because that's exactly how I do shit from my background, so... It's really cool to see Mr. Art School guy and I'm Mr. Engineering School guy, and we sort of have this process of how to do it. And Aaron just went down the rabbit hole. And yeah, I'm like, okay. I mean, he went nuts, and it was fucking awesome.
I think it's interesting that it is a style that's like the first craft beer you had kind of thing, because sours, they don't do that, where they're like, I'm supposed to like this, and I'd have to figure out why. Like I'm
right.
You're having to learn too much about beer to like sours, really, but then...
Very polarizing.
Yeah, and then hazy IPAs, you have a lot of bad ones. Like, you have a lot of bad beer when you first start drinking. You're like, I don't think I like that.
That was your path. You didn't like them at first,
I don't think,
right?
I like this. Right. And then you fall on ones, you're like, oh,
yeah.
That's
and then
what
it makes
supposed
sense,
to be.
You know, it's that,
yeah.
Again, that moment where it clicks, it makes sense. You're like, oh.
Just as a little aside, if you want, like, you can still watch the awards ceremony for all you beer nerds, because I just watched it like 2 days ago. It's on some streaming thing. And the guy who's announcing it, you know, he actually made some comments, because they saved it to the very last category of the night, because that was like, and he said, you know, it's time to realize this is a legitimate style, and we're not going to make fun of it. And, like, and I was like, oh, yeah, I guess people are still, and there's still plenty of breweries that think that way, and I can't we can't diss them because we were the exact same people. So it's just a different way to think of it. But yeah, I mean, this style is going nowhere. I mean, it's here to stay. And if the worst case scenario is it's going to change the way IPAs are brewed, period.
Sure, yeah.
So, but back to Aaron and your process.
Yeah, I mean, so that was it. I just drank everyone I could, and then I eventually, I got, around this time last year, we brewed our first, you know, AZ IPA, which is called Fuzz Petal.
Okay.
Yeah, probably literally a year ago it came out here. It was my first attempt at,
but we,
at
well,
attempt at the style.
We did the...
Well, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Backtrack a little bit. We also...
Sorry, Ari.
Around this time last year, we brewed a collaboration with Maplewood called Juice Pantsless. And I would say that was our first, you know, hazy beer.
Right, because I think around that time, it was Oak Park Microbrew. So Gary's like, oh, I think we're going to do this. You probably should.
Right.
And that was the collaboration.
Those memories are
period.
A blur. Yeah.
Like, okay, yeah, you got to figure out, like, your process. Like, let's go.
But we had Roger, right. Roger and Adam, right, from Maplewood.
No, Roger wasn't with Maplewood at that time.
Oh, that's right.
Big Adam and Little Adam.
That's right, the two Adams.
But yeah, they helped me out a lot, too. I was able to get some, you know, tips and tricks from them. And I mean, they've always been awesome. They're just great dudes in general. They've always been awesome to us. And I'm like, you guys want to do this collab? Because how that started was they had a beer called Juice Pants. Mm-hmm. And we make pantsless pale ale. So I'm like, again, Beer Under Glass.
Beer Under Glass.
I was talking to Maplewood there, and that's how that collab started. Because I'm like, guys, we should do Juice Pantsless. They're like, let's do it. And then that's how that started, too. Yeah. So it's kind of weird how it all fell together.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, so that 2017 Beer Under Glass.
Yeah, if you weren't there, you should have been there. It was pretty good.
And if you folks don't go to Beer Under Glass, like if you don't live in Chicago, you should fly in because it's a really cool fest.
You guys remember a lot from that. I usually don't remember what happens.
Yeah, it's always a good time, for sure.
But then we also had, so Roger was at Corridor, and then who else helped us? What about Old Irving?
I talked to a bunch of people, like
Trevor
from Old Irving, Adrian, who was working at Dry Hop at the time. He's now at Five Rabbit.
But we had
those were kind of the major players who really, you know, showed me the
way. Shout out to all those people because we wouldn't be here. They helped us, and and then Aaron took off running with it and then made it his own. So, but we wouldn't be here without all those people. So,
and now you have multiple versions and fruit crashed one,
Well, we call it riffing, right? And we riff on the style, and it's really fun. The problem is now we've got to make a lot of Le Jus because, as you can imagine, we're getting lots of requests from distributors and stores. Yeah. And it's the greatest problem in the world to have. Because, I mean, I'll be honest. I mean, and Brad, you know, you're an investor in this brewery, right?
I've been here before there was no heat.
Yeah, you know. And, you know, we struggled for the first, you know, the first year was just a shit show trying to figure stuff out. And then not until we got the tap room up and running did things start to kind of equalize out. And then, you know, we were doing IPAs and, you know, just kind of beers like everybody else does. And Le Jus, even before the GABF, sort of really, it's been taken off for us. And we were already running behind.
Okay.
And we were trying to catch up. And we've opened up some distribution. But we only sell our beer in the Chicago area and the suburbs.
Yeah.
Right?
You guys sell distro?
No, we go through the Miller cluster. So it's Chicago Beverage, Malarkey, Town and Country.
All right.
Primarily.
But we go, you know, so we're just now launching like in McHenry County down in Joliet.
Yep.
And we already ran out. Like we ran out of Le Jus already before this award. So, you know, now we're like shitting ourselves because we've got to figure out, now as the business guy, I got to figure out a whole bunch of things behind the scenes to figure out how to make this rip a production. We've got four fermenters, and we got to support the tap room and make sure we have different beers on, because I really don't want our customers coming in the tap room and they only have 12 taps of Lejeune. So that would be kind of boring. So we've got a lot of
funny though.
Like, we have a lot
about
of
one night, like,
yeah,
we do our own tap takeover.
Lejeune tap. So we got a
like, what? That doesn't even make sense.
So we and the big thing, we just got our canning line this year, which has changed things for us significantly.
That's been the biggest game changer, I would say, in the history of the brewery. That really changed everything.
And it's been 3 years now, right?
We started in 2015 and early 20. Oh God.
Right.
And I mean, this, you know, we were just, as a business, we were just sort of getting by. We weren't making a lot of money, just sort of getting there. It's a tough business, right? You got a lot of money you got to throw into the equipment, and then it's just, you know, it's just a tough business, especially right now. And this changes everything for us. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we are so grateful, and for all the help we had, and all these judges and everything, because I mean, we were working our asses off, and we really felt that this beer was really good in addition to the other beers we make. And to have it recognized like this is just like, we were, and I didn't tell the whole story. So we were, when I was picking Aaron up, you know, I was waiting for him, and I called my wife.
Saturday, the day of the awards.
Yeah, the day of the award. And I called my wife.
We're trying to make our way to, you know, said festival.
Yeah.
But we found out while Gary was about to pick me up.
So. Yeah. So I called my wife and I said, we won. She goes, what do you mean we won? And I go, we won the gold. And my wife started crying.
Oh, man.
Because she understood the significance. Yeah. And then my teenager, Gavin, he goes, well, I guess me and my brother can't complain about the brewery anymore, because they're always complaining about, oh, you're always at the brewery, or why can't we, you know, why can't we go to Europe and stuff, like, because all of our money's at the brewery. Yeah. So, so
so they have like this, they have a different relationship with this place than
yeah,
you guys do.
Yeah, like they're not looking at like, oh, someday I'm gonna be working here, and they're like, yeah, I want to, you know, I want a PlayStation. So, but we're, you know, it's,
when they're
it's,
older, they'll probably.
Yeah, cool. they'll figure it out. But it's just, I mean, because, you know, I left a high-paying technology job, and, you know, just, this has been great for us. this award changes everything for us, and we couldn't be more grateful. And we were so excited to get this out to the market, so.
On the style itself, like, Chicago cleaned up. In that category.
Yeah.
Like,
we got to start calling it Chicago IPA. I think Sirot said that. We got to start doing that now.
And then I believe, Jonathan Sirot mentioned Omega Yeast, five of them use Omega Yeast here in Chicago, too.
Five of the
beers in the awards.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That won.
Yeah, they...
So...
They're great.
So Omega Yeast is, you know, so just sort of a behind-the-scenes thing. So a few years ago, the only place you could get beer yeast, even as home brewers, but also commercially, was White Labs and
Y Yeast,
right? Oregon,
BSI.
And BSI. Yeah. So Colorado, Oregon, and California. And then Lance Shaner. Sorry, Lance. They started a little yeast company here in Chicago, and they're only like a mile away. So we go pick up our yeast fresh, which is great. Because otherwise they have to ship it cold overnight and all this stuff. So Lance spends a lot of time making yeast for New England IPAs.
So
right?
I can't even imagine, like, for you guys winning gold, but then for their business too. Like,
oh, Lance texts me. He's like, can we like mention you guys? I'm like, absolutely.
Yeah, like,
so,
of course.
And we actually have a, Aaron, why don't you talk about that?
We actually just brewed a beer with them.
Oh, awesome.
So,
with Omega?
Yeah. Which is even, again, this happened last week, right before all this happened.
Uh-huh.
So it's just weird that all these pieces.
And what is that beer, Aaron?
We did our first ever kettle sour with Omega Yeast.
Cool.
Again, I much like the hazy beer, I was very hesitant to brew a kettle sour just because I had never done one before. I've had some really bad kettle sours that smell like baby diapers and vomit and all those lovely off flavors, and I didn't want to.
I don't understand why is that a problem.
I didn't it, well, I didn't ever want to do that, but, you know, we met some cool people over there, and they're like, you know, shout out to Taylor and Bianca, and they're like, we should do something together. I'm like, well, maybe we do a kettle sour. Like, yeah, let's do it. And so we brewed our first kettle sour with them last week. So
it's in that tank right there.
It's in that little tank right there. So,
and it's going to be called, what's it going to be called?
It's going to be called In Waves.
In Waves. In Waves. And we'll be canning it soon.
It's going to be a little hoppy because I dry hopped it with a hop called Citra, I think it's called.
It's a new hop. No one knows of it yet.
Yeah.
Just got named.
Just got named.
Yeah,
it was just, hop we were going to call it Aaron, but...
yeah, so they were great. They, you know... Again, I was a little nervous about brewing that style, but they kind of like, it's fine. Like, you got this. Like, do this and this.
And then you guys
everything went great, and the beer tastes great so far.
You have a brewed IPA, which is like this new...
Yeah, we just did a brewed IPA, too.
Seems to be popping up, too.
Yeah, we've definitely... That's the one I just on that note, I mean... For, you know, we've been here for 3 years, and again, it all comes back to that beer, but we were fairly conservative the first couple of years.
Oh,
we
my
brewed,
God.
We brewed three beers, Jesus. Essentially, and because that was kind of like an old school
and we
beer
didn't
model.
Have a tap room, so...
Didn't have a tap room.
We couldn't, like brew 25 beers and expect
right.
distribution.
We're like, let's brew the flagships, right, focus on that, and because that's what you used to do.
Right.
Obviously, that's not the case
very
anymore.
Very old model.
So,
and the old Gulster didn't quite get fast enough to adapt. So now we're getting there.
Now we're trying all sorts of different, you know, crazy stuff. So.
Well, the fact that we have our own canning line really frees us up and gives us some flexibility. So, and then the tap room, of course. But yeah, it's weird because we can do whatever we want now, right? So we can do we have the what you call bright cans, which are the blank cans with a sticker on it, right? That's your label. We got a machine to put that on, so we can do whatever the hell we want. If we do a small batch of beer, we can say, all right, let's can, you know, 50 cases of it, and we'll sell it here in the tap room. So,
and you're doing a can release every 2 weeks about?
I've been trying to crank it out, you know. I like to keep it interesting, and it's been almost every 2 weeks, which has been, again, great because it keeps, you know, people engaged, keeps people interested, like, oh, they're coming up, like, people want new, and
right. Yeah.
In addition to releasing the flagships as well, but we're trying to cut in all these new beers as well to keep it interesting.
And it's fun for
fresh,
you know,
and
Aaron,
it's, yeah,
Aaron
it's
enjoys
a huge,
like doing some new stuff.
It's a huge
I'm gonna speak
creative
for Aaron
outlet,
right now.
Yeah. Aaron, like, you can't talk.
Aaron, shut up.
See,
speaking of which, what are we canning this week, Aaron?
We're canning Fuzz Puddle again, which is the first hazy IPA we ever brewed.
By ourselves.
Last year, we only kegged it and served it here primarily, but yeah, for almost like the 1 year anniversary of that style, I'm like, we should brew it again and put it in a can. So,
how'd you guys meet? Because it was just you in the beginning, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then...
We met randomly at... It's funny, I was just talking to Christian Bird about this today because he used to work at Brew Camp, the original Brew Camp,
which is
a homebrew shop.
Yeah.
The original location when it was off of Lincoln there.
Yeah.
It was right by Bottles and Cans, actually.
And yeah, and we were there. We just both happened to be there for some random homebrew
crazy.
Share night, you know, and there was... The people that were in the room at the time, like, I think Jerry Nelson was there. I think, like, all these people who went on to open breweries. But we all were, like, homebrewers at the time.
Yeah.
And I just happened to meet you, and we ended up, like, going out to Fountainhead that night. But then...
I don't remember any of this.
You're like, are you sure? But, yeah. And then we just kind of loosely kept in touch here and there. I would run into you occasionally at... Beer Fest and whatever else.
But
then
we saw you at our, we did that debut at Riverview Tavern and you were there.
Yes, I was there.
And we started talking.
Yep.
And then you talked to my wife and my wife's like, you need to talk to this Aaron guy.
What were you working on back at the time before becoming on and brewing at Alarm?
Right.
What'd you do,
I was,
Aaron?
Again, you know, home brewer on the weekend. Yeah. At the time I was working at a hotel doing kind of network IT work.
a hotel that now
a very large hotel
pantsless
hello
on
Hyatt, Hyatt Regency in Chicago.
Yeah. Which happens to be the largest Hyatt Regency in the world, right? Is it still
in
largest?
The country at least?
Oh, just in
it's
the country.
A huge hotel. Yeah. 2,000 plus,
but they've been
China.
Room hotel. Yeah. Well, but they've been
Dubai.
Carrying yeah Dubai,
Dubai.
Yeah. But they've been carrying pantsless for a long time, so they've been great. So
yeah, so I was just, you know, an aspiring home brewer on the weekends and kind of thought about it, and I figured this would be a good career path
and
for me.
Aaron offered to help, and I said okay, because it was just me and I'm like losing my shit. And Aaron shows up one day, I'm still trying to figure out the brew system, and Aaron just like going to town. He's like, I can't even tell him what to do. He's like, going on. I'm like, okay, this is going to be the head brewer. It was like done. I mean, I swear to God.
Apparently.
So now, it was like absolute serendipity. So yeah. It's great.
So that's like even more like, I guess, amazing that you had first brewing job too, and you got this.
Yeah.
Metal.
Yeah. I don't have, I don't come from any, I don't come from any, right?
Yeah.
Not bad. Not bad.
And the thing is, I went to brewing school, which was great, but I also interned at Metropolitan Brewing and Doug, my God, he taught me how to do stuff.
So,
is that Chet Brett?
We got some randos.
What are you up to, man?
We got some randos walking into the brewery right now.
Just like sneaks in the back door.
I just wanted to see what we were gonna be drinking.
You're thinking to be in the neighborhood?
I was like,
there's only a few people
I know that are that tall.
So yeah, you win an award and you get people crashing the place. They just sneak in the back door.
Right.
That's what.
Dude, all we hear is sandals, and you look off into a distance, and there's a 7-footer in an orange shirt. And I'm like, you know, he kind of looks like Chet Brett, this guy.
So like one this, that you can hear the sandals go, well, it's like flip-flops going.
Yeah, that was wild.
That was funny.
Need to update security around here.
Yeah, no shit.
So then, what's next? What do you got coming up? You've already mentioned some beers that are canning.
Our first big issue we have to figure out is production capacity, right? So we're like sitting here just thinking about like, well, how are we gonna keep up with Lejeune? Because we know, I mean, it's gonna take off, and that's only in the Chicago area. We haven't expanded to anywhere else, so
yeah,
we've got a lot of problems. So the good problems. But that's what we talk about. So just so you know, we always talk about problems. And you know, don't give me a problem, solve the problem. So we talk about this all the time. So
yeah.
So we gotta like figure out, you know, how to up capacity and keep everybody happy as much as we can,
and
maintain quality.
Mm-hmm.
And all that stuff. So.
Let's level set expectations for people listening. Like, because this isn't a big operation. Like, what kind of tanks, and then what kind of system, like volume wise, are you
right
able to put up?
We're operating on a 20 barrel brew house, and then we have, you know, 3 40 barrel fermenters, and then a little 15 barrel fermenter, which is our tap room fermenter. That's where all the tap room beer is going through. We're not a huge operation. We're bigger than a lot of people.
Yeah,
but
Josh Knoll,
called us a tiny brewery, right?
Tiny brewery. I mean,
yeah.
You know, we're
40 barrel fermenters, man.
That's a lot of beer.
Yeah, but
it's a lot of beer.
Yeah, but all of a sudden, like, this is not nearly enough capacity for what we're going to need to do, which is a problem I'm happy to solve, but we got to figure it out because we got to get some fermenters in here.
Yeah.
Can I grab a case? Oh, hi.
That's what happens, man, when you bring home the gold, man. It's buzzing.
Well, I tell you, we couldn't be happier, and it just, I mean, I don't, it's not just like a bragging rights thing. It just feels good because we've been working our asses off, and we've been like struggling, trying to, this is a really competitive market. Chicago's a very competitive market, and we haven't really, we were just starting to look at like maybe going outside of the state, which, you know, it has its pluses and minuses, and now it's like this changes everything for us because if we, just with what the capacity we have right now, if we only brewed Lejeune, we're pretty sure we would not be able to keep up with what demand's going to be in just in the Chicago area,
nice.
Which is a great problem to have. but we got to figure it out, so.
Yeah, and you know, like you said, the awards aren't the be-all, end-all, but I'm excited that it gives visibility to the breweries that were making good beer anyway. You know, it gives us a chance to come hang out.
Yeah, because
we've had Panthers on the show.
Yeah.
We've had Photophobia on the show. And we're like, man, we've been trying to do this for a while. So when we ran into each other at Beer Hop, we're like, this is cool because we've been wanting to do this. So right on.
Yeah, we've never been part of the, gestalt of the craft beer world. It's like, oh, this is a brewery that we've heard of and they make some IPAs and stuff. And this changes everything for us. I mean, we actually start seeing people trying to find our beer on the whaler sites, trying to find the whales.
Yeah, I think the Instagram pictures already had like people like in search of portrait.
And that's great.
Yeah, that better take some home.
I love it. I love it personally, just because it gives us some legitimacy. I would tell people personally, don't spend ridiculous amounts of money on our beer or anyone else's beer. It's just beer. You know, you'll eventually be able to get it. Yeah, come to Chicago. Come to our tap room. And you probably have yourself a good time. So
see, like this guy.
Are you leaving? He's having a great time.
Oh, okay.
He's like
walking out the door. Like, all right, I'm out.
He's got broken
hair.
He's like, all right.
I got my 20-ounce beer. Like, I'm out.
So
my car's running. I gotta go.
So just in case you couldn't get,
you can keep the glass. It's fine.
Just came in with a Imperial pint. And a branded pint. He filled it up with, like, I assume, Le Jus, and then he just walked out the door. So
right, he had to get the branded pint.
I love this industry.
This is a very Chet Brett thing to do.
I love this industry. The people are so great. It's just awesome. So, but no, it's just like we were doing okay, but we're struggling, like just trying to. We're barely paying the bills. We're doing okay. We weren't going to go out of business or anything, but it was like a cash flow issue, and we're having some issues, and this just changes everything for us. Everything.
And it's great. I mean, we're a very small team here, and we have so many incredible, hardworking people here, so it's just such a nice thing to share with everyone.
Yeah,
who has made this place possible. We're all working incredibly hard here.
Every time I come in and Beer Fest, it's same guys.
Right.
It's
we're not,
and we don't silo ourselves into, I'm the brewer, I'm the taproom manager, and it's like we all collaborate on everything, and nobody has the right answer, and it's been great, and we're really excited to see where it goes from now, because. It's just nice to get some recognition for what I think is something we've been working really hard on. And did I just say hard on? Anyway.
Yep.
So, Nick, before we...
Yes, you did.
I love how Nick's like,
what the...
I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what he said.
Before Chet comes back in and crashes us again, you have, like, a shout-out of the Chicago people that won here. We'll wrap this up.
We'll give our commentary on them.
This is a good way to wrap it up, man. We're just going to run through the breweries, man. I think 11, if I'm not mistaken.
We did good this year.
Midnight Pig.
Hold on, Chet's still here.
Tighthead, the aforementioned Corridor, who took home two medals. Argus, Smiley
still
Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Argus is still open. reports of their demise have been greatly exaggerated because they weren't in the Beer Mistress book. We're like, well, did they fucking close?
Can we pause for a second? Chet is back. And Chet's got, reader glasses with purple frames.
And delicious beer.
Yeah, well, there's the cameras. You got to get down here.
That's the mic down there?
Yeah. This is the mic. Yeah, that's the camera.
You're down, there, man. And he spit it out. Is that
that's
good?
That's gold? Oh, Jerry, that is gold.
They call this a gold medal.
That doesn't even work. Cold.
Yeah, cheers, everybody.
Walk
that
out.
Awesome.
Walk
congratulations.
Out.
Chicago Thanks, Beer Pass veteran, Chet Brett.
Break the glass.
Maplewood.
Yeah, Maplewood got bronze for Charlatan, right?
Yeah, and, Workforce Heiress. Cheers to
they
those
got,
guys.
They got bronze for Hazy.
Yeah.
And Hazy. That's awesome.
That's incredible. Like
and,
that.
Funny, so Michelle from Foyk from Heiress, she texted me today and said, what size are you serving Le Jus in at your there? And I said, well, we're using 12-ounce tulip glasses. But I said, since we've won the gold, we're going to charge the same price for a shot glass. Because if bitches want the gold, they got to pay for the gold. And she started laughing. She she's great. But anyway, we're gonna do like a collaboration stuff with them. That'd be awesome. So.
And with the shot glasses?
Yeah, we're only gonna serve the beer and shot glasses. So
that's for the same price.
We're not really gonna do. We're not douchebags.
We're not gonna do. That.
And Revolution.
Yep, straight jacket, right?
Straight jacket. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to make a couple more points about this GABF thing, man. What, like, only 3.4% of all the beers entered. Over 8,000 beers, only 3.4% get a medal. So that's a big deal. But then also, since 1988, this is only the 8th IPA in Chicago history to medal. So
shout out to Hellstorm, right?
Hellstorm won last year
for the regular IPA, which
he's like,
should we run through them all?
Yeah, let's do
it. Cool. So Gatecrasher, that's up in Evanston. That is Temperance.
Oh, yeah.
We've done the show from Temperance.
Yeah.
Half Acre, Gone Away.
Yeah.
Permanent Funeral. So this is Chicagoland. Three Floyds, Permanent Funeral.
Yep.
Prairie Madness last year. This year, Corridors, DDH IPA. Foyken Haze, the Bronze, and the Gold, the Juice. Yeah.
Yeah, crazy.
That's awesome.
And Goose IPA.
Goose IPA.
When did that win?
Wasn't Gatecrasher English?
Three. Yeah.
English
so there's three.
English
there's,
IPA
there's
or
three
English?
Bitter.
English IPA.
Oh, it was English IPA.
So there's there's American IPA, American Double, then there's English, and now there's Hazy. So there's four categories.
Yeah, that's nuts. Categories.
Yeah, of the eight, man, only one, two, three, only four have won gold. This is only the fourth gold medal in an IPA category in GABF history in Chicago.
Damn, you're like Mr. Statistician. You're kind of a nerd there.
I like this.
Nick, aren't you kind of a little nerd there?
Glasses.
I love that shit.
We get excited, man.
This is the second GABF IPA from Chicago I have today. I just had a Gone Away with Raj from right
now. Nice.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, it's it's very exciting because when I started the brewery, I wanted to make sure it was in Chicago. You know, and the funny thing is, we're only like maybe a mile or two from another suburb here, but it felt to me like being in Chicago was part of our identity. To me, that was before I learned about all the taxes and bullshit. Just kidding, but it's really important that we're in the city, and I love the city. My kids were born here. I bought my house here. I met my wife here. So it's like everything to me. So it's awesome.
Cool. Yeah.
Well, that's great. Thanks, guys, for letting us come up here and joining us. This was awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
Well, thank you. And I suppose the last thing we should talk about is we're getting a lot of requests about where can I buy Le Jus. And, well, we're sort of out of cans until maybe early next week.
We're kind
of
out of cans.
Yeah, so
early next week. It'll be
Bottles and Cans here in Chicago, which is great people. They're on Lincoln Avenue, and I believe Bitter Pops. We're in Benny's.
Beer Miscuous had a few.
Beer Miscuous. Yeah. We really don't know for sure until we get all these reports in, but we've had all of our distributors email us, say, hey, we want like this, and they want like all these cases, and we just don't have them yet. So please be patient. We're not trying to like constrain supply. We're just trying to figure out how to ramp up. And we also had an equipment failure on Saturday, which we just got up and running today.
The glycol chiller.
Yeah, which delayed us by 40, because we have a 40 barrels of Le Jus over there cold crashing right now. And if you don't have refrigeration, you can't do anything. So we're up and running again.
All is well.
Thank
right now.
God. Thank God. So everybody, please be patient. We will get the beer out. We're just trying to, we don't want to sacrifice quality just to get it out the door. And we have a lot of problems to figure out, but we will get there. And thank you so much, everybody, for the support. It's been really awesome.
Aaron Dahl, Gary Gully, Chet Brett.
Special guest, surprise guest.
I gotta tell you, I used to be a big fan of Johnny Carson back in the day. So I just feel like one of those guys who popped on.
You're like, is this mic on?
This was cool, guys.
Yeah, thanks so much for coming,
you guys.
Sure, we'll be back next week with another episode. Take care.
Cheers.